Colored eggs and bunny rabbits have been symbols of Easter for hundreds of years. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about baptized paganism. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. In our last broadcast, we introduced a special series of studies about paganism in the church. We discovered the amazing fact that Satan has developed from the earliest ages a counterfeit opposition system of religion which was intended to attract worship away from the true God of heaven. Now that false system had its sacrificial plan just as God had a plan of sacrifice. But Satan's pagan worship required the offering up of human beings, often the sons and daughters of the worshipers. A counterfeit holy day was instituted in honor of the sun god, and this was designated by Satan to rob God of his peculiar authority as the creator of the universe. Satan tried to compete for the loyalty of the world by setting up a very ancient center of sun worship called Babylon. To understand what Babylon means, let's go back to the days after the flood when men refused to obey the instruction of the Lord to scatter over the earth. Settling on the plains of Shinar, they said, "Go to now, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now, friends, they called the tower Babel, the gate to heaven. But God called it what it was, Babel, confusion, for there the language of the people was confused, and they were forced to scatter. Now, this heaven-defying clan of men wanted to have one city, the capital city of the world, one government to rule the world, and one religion to sway the hearts of mankind. You see, it was Satan's attempt to defy God and his authority. And the ringleader in this scheme was a man named Nimrod. We read in the Bible about Nimrod, the man who had something to do with the beginning of pagan sun worship. In fact, we read about him in Genesis 10, verses 8 to 10. "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." And by the way, the margin says Babylon. Now, in another translation of the Bible called the Targums, we read this: "Nimrod became a mighty man of sin, a murderer of innocent men, and a rebel before the Lord." So listen, friends, Nimrod, one of the great grandsons of Noah, is accredited with being the originator of sun worship. Nimrod was a great leader, and he was the first empire builder. He was the founder of Babylon. According to history, his wife, Semiramis, was a very great and wicked queen. And through Semiramis, we find the devil trying to counterfeit God's great, wonderful plan of salvation. She was the first deified queen of Babylon, and Nimrod was the first deified king. When Nimrod died, the people mourned. They said that he was a god. Semiramis, in order to elevate her own position, said to the people that she was the queen of heaven, and that her spirit was that of the moon, and when she died, she would dwell in the moon, even as Nimrod was already in the sun. Now, Satan was really laying the foundation for every system of falsehood and error the world has ever known. They took the truth of God and perverted it, changed it into a lie, and worshiped the creature, that is, Satan, more than the Creator, Romans 1:25. Now here's a truth that should be deeply impressed on your mind today, friends. Paganism is devil worship. Let's never forget that this system of religion, while professing to be the true religion, is actually devil worship. It professes and claims to be the truth of God. In reality, it's Satan's masterpiece, the mystery of iniquity. Every year, when the cold season began, the people believed their sun god was leaving them. They came to learn that his lowest dip on the horizon, about December 21, was followed by his gradual return, until in midsummer he was directly overhead at noonday. And it was on the 25th of December that they began to notice this gradual return of the sun god. In other words, the days were beginning to lengthen out again, and they said, "The sun is reborn to us, he's coming back." And so this day they called the birthday of the sun. Thus the winter solstice became to be regarded as a time of great importance. And at the festival inaugurated, there was feasting and merriment in honor of the return of the all-powerful sun god. It was their belief in the annual journey of their god that Elijah alluded to there in his conflict with those priests of Baal on Mount Carmel. And that was the Syrophoenician sun god. You remember in 1 Kings 18:27 it says, if he is a god, either he's in a journey or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened. All right, now listen, Tammuz was hailed as the son of the sun, because he was born to Semiramis after her husband died and supposedly went to dwell in the sun. And she claimed that her pregnancy was due to being impregnated by her husband, and that the son now being born to her was the son of the S-U-N. And that son was idolized and even worshipped. The first letter of his name became, in time, the symbol of sun worship. Human sacrifices to the sun god were offered on this initial letter made of wood known as the cross T. His birthday, December 25, was honored more and more. When Tammuz died, the pagans instituted 40 days of weeping for him before the full moon following the vernal equinox. Now think of it, friends. Satan worked many years before the conception and birth of the true Messiah, Jesus, to counterfeit through sun worship his miraculous conception and birth. Now let's read about this very thing in the Bible. Perhaps some of you never knew that the Bible even mentions this. But I'm reading now from Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 12 to 18. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Now, friends, God's people were constantly coming in contact with paganism, which was nothing more or less than sun worship. They were constantly being tempted to follow the religion of the pagans instead of the Bible. Satan succeeded many times in leading God's people into sin and pagan sun worship. The prophet was shown greater and still greater abominations. He was shown the people turning their backs on the temple of God and worshiping the sun toward the east. They also worship the moon goddess, Semiramis, the so-called queen of heaven. Let me read you what they did in Jeremiah 7, 16 to 18. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Now, friends, these cakes were round, and on them was cut a cross in honor of the sun god, and they were offered to the queen of heaven. And today they're called hot cross buns. Now, let's notice a few striking and outstanding things that took place. And keep in mind that the devil, who is really the author of pagan sun worship, had been working for centuries to get this false worship so implanted in the world that God's true plan of salvation through Jesus Christ would be insulted and, if possible, be made a failure. Now, first, the exact date of Christ's birthday was not really known. And so it was suggested, why not call it the same date as the birth of Tammuz, which was December 25? And that, too, was the time when the sun had reached its lowest point on the horizon and started back up in the heavens. The sun god had come to life, so to speak. Thus, gradually but surely, December 25 came to be known as the birthday of Christ. The papal church finally instituted a special mass on that day, Christ Mass. And so December 25 became Christmas, taken from Christ Mass. The Yule log, burning in the fire, followed by the green tree lighted with candles, all came in from the pagans' worship, representing Nimrod's being dead, while his spirit still lived in the sun, and was alive again in Tammuz, his son. Again, Christ was crucified and resurrected in the spring of the year, near the time of the moon festival. The devil was on hand again to bring in the idea of having a celebration the same time as the heathen, and even doing as they did, but calling it in honor of the resurrection. The cakes to the Queen of Heaven became the hot cross buns. You read that now in Jeremiah 7, 16 to 18. The 40 days of, quote, weeping for Tammuz in Ezekiel 8, 12 and 18 became Lent. And at the close of Lent came Easter Sunday. As I've already mentioned, this goddess Ishtar came to be known as the goddess of springtime, new life, or as history records it, the goddess of reproduction. The pagans went out to some mountainside early Sunday morning and worshiped this goddess as the sun was rising in the east. They gave themselves to immorality and indecency of every description. The eggs and rabbits were used as symbols of fertility and, of course, germination of life, life principle. Now, friends, are you following what I'm saying? How many of these pagan ideas came into the early celebrations back there in the early Christian church? Now, friends, listen. What an insult that was to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because he arose from the dead, or came to life early Sunday morning, Satan succeeded in transferring the insulting festival to the pagans over in honor of Christ's resurrection. And so today we still have the bunny rabbits and Easter eggs, or Ishtar eggs, as they really should be called, in honor of the Ishtar, goddess of the sun, or goddess of reproduction, and we have the hot cross buns, the early sunrise service, all being put forth in honor of Christ's resurrection. And yet it all came into the church gradually and was blessed by the church and given to the world. Well, friends, our time has slipped by today, but we'll continue our series in the next broadcast. And please don't miss the next link in this chain, because I'll be talking about one of the most breathtaking, arrogant deceptions that Satan ever devised, and how he used it to try to humiliate the Son of God. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.